You're listening to season 2 of the So Cultured podcast,
where we delve into the science and tech behind everyday topics,
served with a side of piping hot laboratory.
We're your hosts, Liv,
Yaz
and Taz,
three girls with a passion for science and tech.
Before we get into today's episode, remember that all opinions are our own and all our listener stories are alleged.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and let's get into it. Just watch me break it. Hey everyone, and welcome back to season 2, episode 2 of the So Cultured podcast.
We are so excited for you to join us for another episode of The Science Behind. So in case you missed it, last week we introduced series 2 and our brand new theme, which is The Science Behind, where we will be explaining the science behind different topics, but also providing you the latest laboratory as well. Before we get into today's topics, should we give each other an update?
Yeah, how is everyone doing? I feel like we always kind of go in with a question or just asking each other like what's been going on, but how is your life basically?
What's going on in my life? Nothing new, same old, you know, same old. Me and Yaz are on a call every single day, so yeah, so you basically know how my life is going. But any updates for the listeners? I'm buying a house. That's my biggest update.
Oh, that is the biggest update. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I love how you like have no news, but I'm buying a house, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like who is going to be interested in that. But can I just say for the listeners, Yaz and Taz literally sent me the cutest flowers, wine, and a little card the day I got my mortgage approved, which was literally the sweetest thing ever. But yeah, how are you guys? Any updates in your lives?
Not really.
You both had broken toes.
Oh gosh, yeah, my ankle is so broken.
It's not actually broken though, is it?
Nah, it's definitely a sprain, but it was quite weird because I went to netball and then I was absolutely fine and then came home, chilled on the sofa, and it was like when I was going to bed I was like, my ankle is really hurting, and then realized it was really swollen. So
oh my God. I literally love that you're doing netball though. Netball just feels like such a throwback to me. Like, not going to lie, like who does netball anymore? But when you told me you were doing netball, I was like, oh my God, that's pretty cool. Like if there was a netball club near me, best believe I would be joining it.
No, literally same. I've not done it since school. So.
And yeah, my toe, I've also had like a minor, I'm going to say it's major, but a minor surgery. I don't even want to share what it is because it's kind of like gross.
Let's just say you've had toe surgery and you are in recovery for your toe surgery.
Yeah, I'm in toe surgery. I had toe surgery. That's it basically.
But on the topic of sharing stuff with the listeners, Yaz, I know you said that we normally start with a crazy question and I feel like I'm always asking you guys random questions, but I do actually have a new question for you guys today.
Yep.
And the question is there anything about yourselves that the listeners don't know, or maybe something that if someone has followed you for ages and they think they know everything about you, they don't actually know this one thing?
Don't know. I would say it's maybe my like ethnicity, because do you guys know what I am? Is that obvious? Like when you started following me, you knew where my family are from?
Not when I started following you, but like just because I'm your friend, you've already told me.
Yeah,
maybe that I'm 3/4 Indian and 1/4 English. So my mum's half white, half Indian, and my dad's full Indian, but they were both born in the UK and I've never been to India. So like,
have you not?
Never.
Oh my God, do you want to go?
I really do want to go, but even growing up, like I always was called a coconut because I don't speak any Indian language. I was raised like having shepherd's pie.
Wait, what's a coconut?
A coconut.
Oh my God, have you never heard of it? So coconut is like brown on the outside, white on the inside.
I've heard of Oreo before.
Yeah, it's like an Oreo. Yeah. But that's, I don't know. I don't really have anything. Taz, what about you? What is your one thing that the listeners probably don't know about you?
Well, I feel like I'd be revealing a bit of a secret that like has been ongoing on my page for a long time now. But
okay.
My name isn't really Taz.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're so used to calling you Taz, to be fair. Go on then, what is your real name?
My real name is Rebecca.
I do feel like it's like revealing your, like, what's it called? Superman. It's like,
yeah, Clark literally.
Clark
yeah, Kent, yeah, I know. Also, okay. Like, at my new job, they only know me as Rebecca because obviously I applied using that name. But, so literally everyone at my previous job knew me as Taz. So I keep signing off emails like, kind regards, Taz.
And they'll be like, oh my God, they might think it's like your to Rebecca. Stage name or your online name, you know?
Yeah, what is it called? Like an alias or something, an alias.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll reveal where I got the nickname from, like, on episode 8.
Oh, okay.
And then everyone has to listen until then.
Okay, episode 8, Taz is going to reveal where she got her nickname from.
You could probably take a few guesses.
And Liv, what's your thing that the listeners don't necessarily know about you?
Yeah, so my thing is that I love pole dancing. You guys know that? I do, like,
yeah. Woo-woo. I feel like, don't your followers know that though? Maybe not people listening to the podcast, but I feel like you do sometimes post, or do you not?
No, I always post on close friends, and now I'm outing myself. I think I've probably shared like one story, but then I got anxious and I was deleted it. But yeah, that's probably my thing. So I do like 4 or 5 hours of pole every week. But yeah.
And you're so good at it.
She's a fit
I literally
girl.
Love watching.
Oh, thanks, guys. I do love it. It's literally like my favorite thing ever. Obviously, besides this podcast. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's kind of boring because now I can't stop thinking about why you're called Taz. So can you please give us a clue or a little bit of a backstory?
Yeah, I'll give you like just something to think about, but because I don't want to like reveal the full story, because I'm not going to lie, it's kind of cringe because we're talking about primary school days. It's probably about 7 and I was just a bit crazy and then got given a nickname based off that.
Oh my God.
I can't imagine you being crazy.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I feel like I've toned it down over the years. I feel like if I'm with certain people, the craziness will come out.
Okay. So we are like, yet to see that.
We are not those people, because
well,
I feel like Taz is like our mom. Like, she keeps me and Yaz in check.
What? Really? I feel like I'm erratic when I meet you in person, though. I feel like I'm giving off this like aura of calmness and mum vibes on this podcast. But if you actually come out with me on a night out,
yeah, you are maybe actually. That is true. I would actually say, out of us three, Taz, you actually are the wild one because you're always hungover. Like, you're always out partying. Whereas me and Yaz are like in bed by like 10.
No, that is super interesting. I definitely feel like we need to experience this wild side of Taz. But on today's episode, we will actually be learning all about the science behind personalities. And as I am an environmental biologist, I will also be talking about some cool animals that may also have a personality just like us.
So today's episode, you said we're going to be talking about personalities, which is so interesting because I've actually always wondered, why would people have different personalities? Are there like different categories of personalities? Like, I know we can do online personality tests, but like, is that a true representation of our personality? Like, there's so many questions.
Yeah, I know, right? I find it so fascinating, and I've never really given it much thought like before this episode, to be honest.
Yeah, same, to be honest. But what actually is personality even defined by? Like, does it have a definition or?
So actually, the American Psychological Association actually defines a personality as traits, enduring behaviors, thought and emotional patterns that make up a response to the world. And it is mainly to do with the stable patterns that we experience. And it also includes our interests and values. So I feel like it kind of encompasses quite a lot of things. It says that like there is such a long list of things that it could be. And one psychologist, Gordon Allport, actually generated a list with more than 4,000 terms of what personality traits are and like which ones exist. And I feel like that's kind of long. Like, imagine on your dating profile or something, you're like, oh, I want all like 2,000 of these personality traits in my future partner.
Yeah, that is long.
What is a personality trait defined as though? Like you said, like caring or empathetic or...
Yeah, so it's literally just like a response. So it could be, are they fun? Are they polite? Are they kind? Are they outgoing? Are they not? So a little bit more depth to that. It has been established that there are 5 main traits which are sometimes often referred to the acronym OCEAN. So that is openness, conscientiousness, I can't even say that word, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So within those, we've got openness. So that's like if you're able to try new things, you're kind of like it kind of says, open to doing different things, meeting new people. Then you've got conscientiousness, which is like ambition and goal-directed or oriented behaviors. Extroversion is literally like the definition between, are you extroverted or introverted?
So I actually think I'm like a extroverted introvert. Like deep down, I'm quite introverted, but I kind of force myself not to be. So I feel like from the outside, you would think I'm quite extroverted.
As a major introvert, I look at you as an extrovert, Taz, because you do so much socializing that I just genuinely could not deal with. Like, I will go out once a week and first of all, it takes me a week to like build up in my head that I'm doing this thing. I'm going out with this person and I'm going here and like, where am I going to park? What am I going to do? Like, it's all, a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, and then I get there and I'm having the best time when I'm there. But as soon as I leave that person, I just want to go home to my boyfriend and just shower, watch film, and then not go out for like another week. It's really bad.
It is interesting how that works and how we're all quite different in that sense. Because, yeah, I love socializing and doing stuff. Yeah, I do think like with age, I've just changed. So I've maybe become slightly more introverted. But going back to this acronym, OCEAN, we also have agreeableness. So that's like altruism, if you're kind. And then neuroticism is to do with like moodiness, worries, sadness.
So basically it's about how we are and how we behave. Like, I guess one of the crucial things that I would want to know is does personality stem from how we are when we're younger? Because we just said like we've changed as we've grown up. So it'd be interesting to know that aspect of that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that is one thing that for me, it's like trying to understand how we can change and like where does it actually come from. And Liv, you are a twin yourself. And there is a study that actually suggests that even identical twins who have been raised separately in completely different environments, who when they have like been brought back together, actually show very similar personality traits to each other, even though their environments may have been completely different. And there is one study that looks at this quite heavily, and this is the Minnesota study of twins reared apart. I didn't delve into this in too much detail, but essentially there is one main study that has looked at a lot of different twins and have looked at cultural factors, looking at traditions, society, social norms, and looking at their beliefs, and then kind of bringing, once these twins are brought back together, looking at how they experience the world and what their personality is. And it is thought that between 30 and 60% of personality is actually heritable. This study, I actually don't know the year it was done, but I'm assuming it was like a while ago, maybe before they actually looked at the genes or like genetics of certain traits.
Yeah, is it interesting though? Because like if there's a genetic component, you wouldn't expect there's actual genes that code for like personality traits, but it could be that it has something to do with like maybe neurotransmitters or something like that. I don't know. That is really interesting that there is a genetic component to personality.
Yeah.
Well, I also think as well, like they say, if you have anxiety in your family or like, or depression, then that can be passed down. So I feel like you say, Liv, that's definitely a problem with unbalanced neurotransmitters in the brain. So I'm sure it affects other aspects of personality as well. Like, Mm-hmm. I would say off the back of that, I am so similar personality wise with my dad. And like people say it all the time. So I'm always inclined to be like, oh, it could definitely be like a genetic factor, but then I guess that could also be environmental because he's brought me up. So yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint that.
Exactly. Like if you maybe one of your parents weren't around while you were growing up, but then you still had a similar personality, even though they didn't raise you, that's again a bit like this twin study that could then hint towards more of a genetic aspect. But I do have some insight into some studies that have looked at specific genes. But before I get into that, I'll just mention some of the environmental factors that can actually help to shape and develop different personalities. So some of the things that have been defined to like actually contribute to the environmental aspects of you growing up isn't just like how you were raised, but it's to do with like education, your life experience, whether you've experienced certain trauma, even if you've got like supportive family and friends, or if you don't, that could increase your like confidence and resilience. But you could also have a defense mechanism as a way to cope with trauma. So then that's where like different lifestyle factors come in. And also it's to do with some of your like brain chemistry that can actually impact the risk of taking, like the risk taking behaviors and mood regulation.
That's super interesting. I thought there would be a lot of different theories as to why we had different personalities, but I didn't, like Liv said, realize how much of it is not known, I guess. So do you think that there's any specific reason why some people might have certain personality traits?
Yeah, so there are loads of different things that could lead to having the different personality types. So we've said like some of it's through genetics, some of it's environmental. But I'm going to take a couple of examples of a personality trait and dive into a little bit about the science behind it. So have you ever thought about people that could be, say, aggressive or have more of an aggressive personalities, and maybe what could be like your view on why they maybe act aggressive? Is there anything that would come to mind?
Testosterone, steroids.
Yeah, definitely.
And being hangry.
I actually think that could be a thing. It even says like some examples are like where you grow up, is your neighborhood or like your economic experiences putting you into a situation to become more aggressive. So that's definitely like your environmental. As Liv said, it could be more hormonal. Is it you've got increased testosterone, which is known to have that increased aggressiveness within like communities.
Yeah, it's like but roid rage. Also, you know the term roid rage.
Yeah, literally. So I think even that, it's like certain people could have increased testosterone, but equally like it could be a societal expectation. So whether that's like males should be more dominant and have this aggressiveness or protectiveness over others, but equally it could be genetics. And so there is actually a gene that metabolizes serotonin. So some people are born with a deficiency in the allele, and this can actually cause elevated serotonin levels. And what I didn't know is that high levels of serotonin have been linked to aggression. And so this gene is actually monoamine oxidase, or also known of like MAO. And then obviously we've mentioned serotonin, but what I also didn't know before was that an excess in dopamine has also been shown to have aggressive traits. And so depending on like different neurotransmitters, either when they're in excess or they're deficient, that can also impact your dopamine levels. Is that just me who didn't know that about dopamine or serotonin in like high levels?
Well, actually, as you were saying most of this, it's actually all coming back to me that I did learn about this in psychology A level. So especially when you were talking about the MAO gene, like it was all coming back to me.
Cool. Yeah, I never did psychology, but like now I'm like, oh my God, I would have done psychology, I would have probably wanted to go into this field.
Well, I did want to remember, and then my mum was like, no, don't do it. But I love psychology and I was an absolute nerd in psychology. I got 98% on my A-level exam, which is probably to date my life's biggest achievement.
That is giving Taz vibes.
It is giving Taz, isn't it? Honestly. Certainly not.
I can confirm. I don't think I got 98% of my A level.
Okay, well, another example of genetics playing a part for a personality trait. Liv, you were mentioning that you're really introverted, mm-hmm. and Taz, you were kind of saying you're somewhere in between, or you're a, what was it, an introverted extrovert, or the other way?
I'm an extroverted introvert.
Okay, confusing.
I actually think, Yaz, you're more extroverted than I am.
Yeah, I'm definitely an extrovert.
Because, like, you literally said that you came to, you go to conferences and you just randomly talk to people. Like, that is my worst nightmare. Like,
Oh, really?
I've said that
I can actually do that. Like, I can actually go up to people, like, but I feel like I force myself to do it. It's not because I want to do it. I force myself to do it because it makes me feel like I'm extroverted.
Well, I can't even do it. I'll just sit in the corner. Yeah, like, no. Someone has to, like, physically introduce me to someone and I'm like, hi. Like, oh, I hate it.
But okay, so let's see. Is your introversion actually to do with any genes? And I think this is also where it's confusing, because there is a study that suggests that high dopamine is linked to introversion. But if you remember just a few seconds ago, yeah. I also mentioned that excess dopamine can be linked to aggression. So make it make sense. Like, I don't know how it can do both. Can you be introverted and aggressive? Probably.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. But, like, are introverts more likely to be aggressive over extroverts?
Ooh. Because of linked to the dopamine, maybe.
Because I don't think I'm aggressive. All right, just one more thing is, like, could it not just be that introverts and extroverts respond to dopamine differently rather than high levels of dopamine causing, like, introverticism, I can't even say the word, or what's the word? Yeah. Introvert,
I think it's introversion.
Introversion.
Help me.
Oh, I don't even know what I was saying anymore, but you get what I'm saying.
I think if you have, like, a genetic trait that means you have an increased level of dopamine, then you're predisposed to being more aggressive. But I think, like, with environmental factors and, like, different behaviors, you could definitely prevent being classed as an aggressive person.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point.
Because even within this research, it says that it's suggested that introversion is 50% genetic, and obviously the other half would be to do with environmental. But again, I don't really know how they came to this conclusion of, like, 50% is to do with your genes, because surely they'd need to know all the genes responsible for causing introversion.
Yeah, and somehow, like, calculate how much of a certain personality trait is, like, determined by gene. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think that's quite difficult. But then as we were comparing, like, introverts and extroverts, there's also suggested that extroverts have a lower blood flow to their frontal lobe than introverts. And it's like, hold on a minute. Did they just take, like, a bunch of introverts and a bunch of extroverts and then just look at their blood flow? And, like, what would make them do that? Or was it that was just, like, a secondary part of a study where they were looking just to see, like, what's different? But now I'm intrigued. Like, again, we always say it because we all have different experiences in our lives, like us three. Like, if we were in these studies, would it actually be what we expect? So, like, I say I'm more extroverted and you two are kind of, or Taz is in between and Liv, you're introverted.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like basing the whole study on how you see yourself. But I feel like you guys just said to me, oh, I would think you're an extrovert or you're more introverted than I am. But it's like, how do you determine that?
Yeah, and also I guess it depends on, like, what kind of a situation they were placed in. Like, if you're putting them in, like, a quiet lab, then, like, introverts are going to be having the time of their life. But the extroverts are going to be, like, not having the time of their life. Do you know what I mean? So, like, maybe that does affect, like, blood flow. Because is increased blood flow a cause of introverticism or extroverticism? I can't say those words. Or is it just a, like, not cause, but what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even get out sentences today. What is wrong with me?
Like a byproduct of their environment that they're experiencing. Yeah, like, dependent on your environment, is that going to change your physiology?
Really, what they should do is take introverts and extroverts and put them in, like, a very social setting as opposed to a very quiet setting and see the differences between who they classify as introverts and extroverts and see, yeah, see the differences there. Because you might be biased by putting them in a certain situation.
Yeah, also as well, like off the back of what you're saying, Liv, if I was extroverted and I was going to be part of a scientific study, I don't think like you would be anxious about meeting people and being in that kind of environment.
That's what I mean,
so, you wouldn't have like high adrenaline and I guess increased blood flow to the brain. Yeah,
exactly.
Whereas an introverted person would maybe have more a higher blood pressure and more blood flow going to parts of the brain because that's like that environment induces more anxiety. So I don't know how on earth you would control for all of that stuff.
I don't think they've necessarily have controlled for it. There was a study that I honestly didn't get into because there was a lot of inconsistencies, but they were suggesting that your blood type, like ABO, was to do with whether you were introverted or extroverted. But again, it was kind of a complicated study of like how they actually controlled for certain things. If you're just doing like a personality test to determine are they introverted or extroverted and then looking at their blood type. So if anyone is interested in that, there are studies out there looking at blood type that you could definitely have a look at.
This episode is brought to you by SciSpace.
Yeah, guys, SciSpace is your one-stop destination for all things research-related.
Yep, it's the easiest way to find, understand, and learn any research paper.
But honestly, having access to millions of papers is useless if you don't actually understand them.
Which is why it is so useful that SciSpace has an AI tool that allows you to access a quick summary.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's actually so easy to use. You can search for any paper or upload a PDF to the website yourself, and then simply just use the chatbot to ask it any question that you want.
You can even ask it to explain the abstract in just two lines.
My favorite thing is that you can even get it to break down mathematical equations, which I need because we all know I'm not the best at math. And you can even ask it to break down complex figures.
Yeah, and when you're done, it even has an extra feature called related papers. So instead of wasting time looking for like the next relevant paper to read, SciSpace does it for you.
Yeah, true. And that makes conducting literature reviews so much easier as well.
Yeah, I think this is incredible and very, very helpful. So where can our listeners find SciSpace?
Yeah, so all you need to do is go to typeset.io, set up an account and get started.
And does it also have a Google Chrome extension too?
Yep, it does.
Yeah, and SciSpace have also very kindly given you guys not one, but two codes.
Yeah, you can use SoCultured20 for 20% off a monthly subscription or SoCultured40 for 40% off an annual subscription.
Thanks again to SciSpace for sponsoring this episode. The link to SciSpace will be available in today's episode description.
And now let's get back to today's episode. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. But just going back to like we were just talking about like being social or like being confident and stuff. Has any studies identified like a gene for that? Because I need that.
Yeah, I guess that is really to do with being introverted or extroverted. But I feel like you can still be introverted and like have more confidence or being still sociable because you're saying you're forcing it. But actually there are some studies that are suggesting there are variants in dopamine D2 receptor. So there are DRD2 and DRD4 that are linked to do with temperament, to do with like lowered sociability, specifically with seeking out new experiences. So maybe that's to do with why people might say like, I'm going to go and do something new or go over to these people and chat to them. And there's also insight into having a self-discipline gene. And I'm wondering, like, is that to do with, is self-discipline actually like a personality trait? Or because, you know, you can like improve it. But then again, there is actually a gene that has been linked to being more self-disciplined. Mm-hmm. And that is a, I'm going to say cat now too, but it's KATNAL2. And so there are like these new studies coming up that are suggesting that there are genes specifically linked to certain personality traits. But equally, that then makes me think like, can these things be epigenetic as well? Mm. Like, because self-discipline is something that you can improve. Mm-hmm. So then would you change your gene through your environment, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, epigenetics is never changing your gene. It's only adding things to your DNA which influence your gene expression. But
so that's what I mean. Like, if you've improved your self-discipline over time, if they're saying there's a certain gene linked to self-discipline, but if you're changing it, would that change like the tags on your gene, or is that not really how it works?
Potentially. I don't know if there's been any studies looking into epigenetics of personality, but I would say more that it's, if you have this like gene variant which is linked to self-discipline, you're probably just like naturally more self-disciplined, so you don't have to work at it as hard as other people. Do you know what I mean? I would say that's probably the more scientifically correct scenario. But yeah, I don't know if there's any studies looking into epigenetics of personality. I'm sure there will be soon. If not,
I need that gene if that's the case.
But even in terms of confidence, I don't know if that is necessarily linked specifically to a gene. But what I do know is that there is a gene variant, OXTR, that could be linked to your self-esteem. And again, the studies do seem a little questionable. So what they did in this study is they had 326 volunteers who did a questionnaire about their physiological aspects and then provided their saliva, and that was how they tested for this specific gene. And so once they provided their saliva, they were looking at the OXTR gene, and it depends at the nucleotide at a certain position on the gene as to whether there was a positive or a negative result. So for example, people that had 2G alleles at this specific site were known to have higher self-esteem than those that actually had an A present at the same site. So again, it's really specific, but looking at how your genes can actually contribute to having certain traits.
That's actually crazy how it can be down to the nucleotide base on whether you have high or low self-esteem. Like, that is crazy to me. But I think like another aspect to look at, obviously we talk about humans having personalities, but I feel like anyone that has a pet knows that it has its own little personality. So like, has there been any studies on other animals, and like, would certain personalities be beneficial over others?
Yeah, that's such a valid point. I feel like when you've got a pet, you always wonder like, is their personality rubbing off on like your personality as well? Like, has your dog or cat become more like you? If you're extroverted and go meet loads of people, would you pick an animal that's sort of like you? Like, I don't really know how that works. Or, you know, I just want a cat and I know I want one that's like really friendly and will just come to anyone. So maybe it's like you pick it based on who you are. But what we do know is that there are a lot of different animals that do display the same big five traits that we do, such as this OCEAN acronym. And some of these are like primates. We also have, I think dogs do. And chimps have showed that they have certain personality traits linked with lifespan. And I think some of this stuff is quite obvious. Like, when you break it down, like, is lifespan linked to personality, or is it just linked to like the fact that it's just like, it just makes sense. So for example, chimps who have a higher agreeableness was associated with having a longer life. But when you think of it, like, if you're more able to negotiate or like agree, you're not going to be fighting, you're not trying to establish dominance, you're less likely to be in conflict. So it does make sense that you're going to be linked to maybe living longer.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would have thought that, especially in like primates, for example, that like higher aggressiveness would have led to longer life, because surely like the more aggressive you are, the more likely you are to be like the alpha male in the pack and get everything you want, get all the food, everyone fights for you. Maybe not.
That's true.
I was going to say, I think it probably depends on the animal. Like, I feel like chimps, which are very related to humans, they're more, they have like a social construct where it's like very sociable, and they have, I don't know, like a social circle, and is like built on like these social hierarchies and stuff. So it probably would be more beneficial to be agreeable.
Well, what is really interesting is that this year a new study came out where they were actually looking at personalities in tigers, and it was Siberian tigers specifically. And like you say, like, do they have a social structure? Like, I'm not a behavioral scientist. Like, I've never thought about how tigers work. I would have assumed tigers are solitary. Or I think they are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they might be.
What does solitary mean?
That they just like go on like, their own. On its own. I think, yeah, lone roamers. But yeah, this study was basically based in northeastern China, and it was at a semi-wild tiger sanctuary, and they had loads of the caretakers who specifically look after the tigers, and they were all asked to carry out questionnaires on the tigers' personalities. And what they did within the study was that they found it quite difficult to rate their personality on like a massive scale with like all these different terms that you could use. So they broke this down into two main characteristics, and this was steadiness versus like majesty. And majesty is probably what you think of like royalty. It's classed as ambitious, dignified, imposing, and that meant that what the caretakers assumed had a higher group status. So even though we mentioned like don't really know if they have a specific social structure, the caretakers were like having an outward looking in opinion on it, saying that that's what meant they had a higher group status, and suggested that they actually were overall healthier than those who had characteristics to do with the more steadiness. And steadiness means they're more tolerant, they're more calm and methodical. And so what this study was basically doing was just looking at understanding like having these different traits actually linked to their like lifespan and health. So if you were in this case, you had the higher status, it was healthier. Whereas I guess in chimps, it was saying if you were more agreeable, you were had the longer life. So I guess it depends on the social structure and what kind of species it is. And so what they'd found in this study was that having this more imposing and like maybe aggressive trait actually led to being healthier, which would make sense because like you've mentioned before, for the chimps, like you'd get more food, you would be able to compete with others, but that actually meant in this case it was more to do with their health. But obviously this study was to do with people looking in, so it was caretakers that knew these tigers. Could it have been biased? Maybe, because some of the caretakers might have built a bit of a relationship with certain tigers over others, and so I think that could be quite difficult to like discuss.
Definitely.
Or difficult for the study.
Yeah, I also think as well, I'm assuming we're talking about tigers in captivity. So they're going to be amongst other tigers, whereas you literally just said that they tend to be solitary. So I think it would be interesting to follow wild tigers and see if it's replicable.
Yeah, I think it would be really interesting to look at wild tigers to see if they also show a personality. But doing studies on tigers, whether it's in captivity or in the wild, is really good to help understand, to manage and to actually conserve them more. So I definitely think a study like this should be done on wild populations to see if they still show a kind of personality trait. But it's interesting that they could show and represent personality traits that are similar to what humans are, have developed, or like how we kind of have evolved to change in our personality. Does this even happen within other animals, like with mating, climbing the career ladder? Like, is that to do with their group status? Does that change over time and like on different experiences? So I definitely think it is very interesting to look at, and I'm intrigued to learn more about the animal studies as well as like within us.
But yeah, thanks so much, Yaz. That was such an interesting topic. I'm really enjoying this season so far and getting to just learn the science behind things that we like talk about every single day with like our family and friends. It's really interesting. If anyone wants to read any of the science a little bit further, then of course, as always, we will pop the links in the description below. But for now, let's move on to the laboratory section of today's episode.
Okay guys, so for today's laboratory, someone has kindly written into us for a little discussion. So I've actually not read this myself either, so we can get our raw real reactions when I read. So it starts off as, I'm fairly confident an undergrad is stealing supplies from our lab to build a lab in his garage.
thoughts.
Oh my god, great first opening sentence.
Breaking Bad, because I'm watching Breaking Bad at the moment. This is given Breaking Bad.
You've never watched Breaking Bad before?
No, I've never watched it at all. I've just started and I love it.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
It is good.
I feel like I watched the first episode and I was like,
No, you have to give it time because it gets so good.
It gets so good. Okay, so at first I thought we were misplacing small things and I thought they would eventually turn up. I was wrong. One day I was in the lab around 10 p.m. and he pulled up. Keep in mind, he really only washes the dishes normally. Why was he given a key to the lab? He did a couple dishes and left. Wait, what? Why dishes? What the hell does that mean?
I guess like washing... I don't know.
Yeah, he's just a washer. We have that, like someone who just washes up. A dishwasher.
Oh, okay. We do not have that, but... After I paid more attention to the things that went missing, and it just happened to be all the things I needed for gel electrophoresis. So a mold, two rubber pieces for the mold, and both sizes of the comb that we use. I mean, that is really annoying. Like,
out of all the things you could do with a lab at your home, you're doing gel electrophoresis. Surely not.
But... I thought it was going to be like, oh, they took a few Falcon tubes or some pipettes, but like actual equipment like that, like that you can't then run your thing. Like that's actually long.
How big is the equipment for gel electrophoresis? What do you need?
Well, they've said that you need like the mold, which you use to set your gel basically. Mm-hmm. But like if you're going to do gel electrophoresis, then you need a whole like electrophoresis machine to do it.
Yeah. And you need a power pack and everything.
Yeah. Okay, so it goes on to say, I brought it up to another grad student and she told me that one day he was bragging to her about how he's going to start a lab in his garage with his dad. In brackets, WTF. No, what?
Okay, first, let's brainstorm. Why might you want to start a lab in your garage with your dad? Obviously, the first one is you want to make some drugs. What else could it be?
But why would you need gel electrophoresis stuff to make drugs?
What is actually, first of all, what is gel electrophoresis for? Like, what do people do with gel?
You like check
to DNA. Separate out DNA.
Maybe they want to.
So like the small fragments.
They do like the 23andMe thing. Like they get samples and then they can test DNA. Nah, because you just need to sequence it. Like, I don't really understand.
Yeah, you don't need gel electrophoresis for that.
I don't know. You guys are the wet lab scientists. You should know.
Have you guys read Lessons with Chemistry?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it was about a chemist and she basically married another chemist. But it was back in the day where that, like, it wasn't normal for women to be scientists. Mm-hmm. So they made like a whole lab in there as their kitchen. I mean, it's not a true story, but maybe why? He read that and was like, oh, I'm going to do the same thing. Inspo.
Or like, I was going to say quickly, like, you know, when if you discovered something, your university owns your discovery because you've done it as part of a uni. Yeah. Whereas if you do it in like a garage, then you hold all like the ownership. So maybe they've found something. Yeah. But then... how have they found something if they're literally just washing the dishes? Like, no disrespect, like, we need that in the lab. But if you're literally. Not even, like, doing research, then what have you discovered?
No, I feel like it could be revenge science. Like, maybe they had, like, a really cool idea for, like, an experiment or something. And then the PI was like, no, that's a rubbish idea. You're not going to do that. And then they were like, you're out of your job, but we do have this dishwasher job going. They were like, yeah, let me take that. And then now they're trying to set up the experiments in their garage to do some revenge science.
It's giving Despicable Me, like villain. The yeah. villain in your garage. Like,
it does say that it's an undergrad, so maybe they just want like extra credit and to get some like experience. But that kind of makes more sense about the gel electrophoresis machine, because if you're undergrad, then you might not necessarily know like what the use of the gel electrophoresis machine is. Like, I don't know. Yeah. This is weird. Anyway, I'll carry on. So it says, once I noticed that the portable gel viewer we use was missing, so I confronted
him. Nah, that's
him.
Big, isn't it? Mine's big.
Well, it says portable. So I confronted him. He said he didn't know where it was, but offered to look in every drawer in the lab. I had already triple checked in case I was being crazy. He looked and didn't find it. Shocker. But did find
She's sassy.
A manual. Yeah. But did find a manual for another piece of equipment that was on a CD. He brought the CD to me and asked if he could take it home to upload to our shared drive. I was mega... I'm so confused. What's the CD for?
Another piece of equipment that they had in the lab. You know how, like, sometimes when you buy something, you have to, like, put a CD in it or whatever to, like, get it all started up. So, like, imagine if there's another piece of equipment that's gone missing and then he finds a CD and then he takes it to her and he's like, can I take this home to upload it to our... But why have you got to take it home to do that? Why can't you just do it in the lab? Unless the other piece of equipment is also in his garage with the portable gel electrophoresis viewer. It's all there.
Yeah, so then it goes on to say, this is so funny. I was mega suspicious and told him to just leave it in the lab, and he proceeded to beg me. This is beg with three exclamation marks, me with three exclamation marks, to
first
take
of
it
all
home.
If you're gonna be taking stuff, do it with your chest. Like, if you have the balls to take the portable gel viewer, take the CD.
Why are you begging me for the CD?
Like, just, you know, you've got balls, obviously, so just take the CD.
Yeah, we're not condoning any stealing, but yeah,
if you're gonna do it, just do
we've
it.
We've all stolen stuff from the lab before.
Yeah, I actually used to be a cereal glove stealer because I needed it to dye my hair. Sorry, SAT
one fun fact, because I had this toe surgery, can't get my bandage wet, so I have to get, I put gloves on my feet.
No, you did not.
So then, like, I can wear socks and then wear my sandals.
Well, like, you put your toes in each of the fingers.
Oh, no, not the toes.
I, like, tuck them in, but I just wear it. But even, like, to shower, they gave me gloves as well, but I needed some more. But I need to put it around the bandage, so it's just, like, on my foot.
What is it with you and feet? I'm actually fed up with you and feet. Like,
you
the whole of season one, and now we're bringing in season two. Oh, honestly. All right, so he's begging for the CD, for the other piece of equipment that he's probably stole. Okay, then what?
I go on to say, I obviously told him no again. He left and I didn't see him for weeks. I'm thinking about installing a camera or booby traps. I need evidence so my advisor can fire him. And it finishes there.
So where has he gone for weeks? Where has he gone?
In his lab, he's doing science. Like...
Yeah, but what, he's just stopped? Who's washing the dishes?
He's got all of his gel electrophoresis equipment now. He can run as many gels as he
wants. Screw the dishes. What on earth?
But you need to do a PCR or something. You can't just run DNA, like, as is. You need other equipment.
Well, maybe he has stolen more equipment, but we just don't know about it.
Maybe he's worked in other labs, and this is what he does. He goes from one lab to the other, collects equipment, and then he just... You think he's disappeared for weeks, but really he's never coming back. He's already in another lab and he's got
the
PCR machine from the next lab.
He's already got it.
Yeah, you don't need a booby trap like a camera. You need a tracker to figure out where his next move is.
Well, it's like our other episode, wasn't it, where the researcher was convinced that their colleague was poisoning them, so he set up cameras. So maybe our listener can do the same thing and set up a camera.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the only way you're gonna... But if he's been gone for weeks, is he coming back?
Yeah.
That's the bit I'm confused
on. But equally, I know not everyone likes confrontation, but next time you do see him, if you do see him, just, like, say it with your chest or get someone in the lab that's a bit more confrontational to be like, what did you need that CD for? Where is this equipment? Like,
yeah, or I would just be like... Oh, I would just be like, yeah, you can take it home. And then, oh no, because he probably would just... I was going to say, you could just let him take it home and then he's obviously not going to upload it, but he probably would.
Oh, like to the shared drive. Like, is he actually going to...
Yeah, yeah. Are you actually going to upload it or...
I'd set traps. I'd set, like, you know how some people, if you're not sure you trust someone, you could, like, leave a little, like, £10 note on the side to see if they'd take it, right? Do, like, a little trick of, like, leave stuff.
He's got a whole lab in his garage. He's not taking £10. Like, he's got...
No, I don't mean £10, but, like, do it with equipment. So, like, leave certain equipment that you know you've placed there.
No, but
then,
I guess
like,
that's what she's saying,
it.
Right? That's what she's saying, right? And then she needs to get...
But what would you set as a trap?
...evidence so she can show her PI and get him fired. But also, why not just go to your PI and be like, hey, look, all of this equipment's going missing. I don't know where it's going missing. It's slowing me down. I have suspicion someone's taken it. This is who I suspect. You deal with it. Like, why have you got to deal with it? Get your PI to deal with it. You don't get paid enough to be setting up cameras. Because you're probably not allowed to do that, let's be honest. And you're probably going to get in trouble even if you do it and you get him caught. So just take it to your PIs and just let them deal with it.
I think it's wild that he openly admitted to someone else that him and his dad are going to make a lab in his garage. Like,
I just want
to know. If someone said that to me, I would be like, why?
Can we revisit this, though? The fact that their dad's doing it, is their dad a scientist? Is their dad going to quit the job and just, like, help? What was the whole thing? Me and my dad, like, not even like me and my best mate in the lab have got this great idea. It's like me and my dad. It just doesn't. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like he's a grown man. He should, you know, what is he doing? I don't know. I want to know what it's for, other than cooking drugs.
Imagine though, if you had a lab in your own house, like how quick you would do a PhD. I'd do it so much faster.
You'd never leave the house.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So advice, Liv, you've given the advice that you think just take it to the PI. Mm. Taz, do you think booby traps are the way? Set up a trap.
No, I completely agree with Liv. Like, that's way above my pay grade to sort that out, to be honest. Like, if you've got someone stealing from the lab, obviously it's not nice to be a grass, but if you're, there's nothing more annoying than going into a lab with like a predefined idea of what you're going to do that day. And then you don't have any equipment around. Like, that is so infuriating. So if it's like being caused by someone literally physically stealing it from the lab, then be a grass, tell your PI.
See, I would want the whole full-on investigation. Like, I love that. Like, imagine your day job is you're a scientist, you're a grad student, you're going in, but things are going missing. Like a proper Agatha Christie novel. Yeah, what is it?
Or
like
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to figure it out. Even if you don't set cameras, because that might be illegal.
Oh, I was going to ask you, Yaz, where would you put the camera?
That's a good one. Because our lab is quite open.
Or like what could you hide it? What could you use to conceal the camera?
A tip box.
A tip box and like put a hole in it and then like angle it. But then people might be like, why is there an empty tip box here? Like, I'm going to put it in the bin. Or like in the recycling.
You could like just spy on the guy and then when he does actually
I've got it.
Yeah.
Ray-Ban Meta glasses. What are you laughing for? They are the perfect thing. You just leave a pair of glasses. No one's going to question why is there an empty tip box here, because it's just a pair of glasses that someone's left on their desk.
Oh,
you don't know what Ray-Ban Meta glasses are? Okay, this makes... No, I know what you're laughing.
I thought you meant like you should wear the glasses, no, but I'm like
yeah. Okay, Ray-Ban Meta glasses are the glasses that have cameras in them.
Okay.
So you could put them on and you could put them like on the desk and just leave them there and like they just film. So yeah, that's what you could do. That is the perfect booby trap. Ray-Ban Meta glasses on the side of the lab bench, or you tell your PI. They're the two options,
or,
I guess.
Or there's the third, you confront them.
Or just like, you know how people put up like, smile, you're on camera, just like around the lab, and then that will stop him from stealing stuff, even though there's not necessarily cameras there. You know, some people just put up to be like a deterrent.
I'd go to HR. Even though they're an undergrad, I'm assuming maybe they're volunteering, but where have they gone? They've obviously disappeared. So that's the main problem.
They're in a new lab now, babe.
Love it. I like the advice, and I'm sorry you're experiencing some person stealing from your lab. Like, that is frustrating.
Yeah, all jokes aside, that's really annoying.
Yeah.
Also, keep us updated, because I want to, like, obviously it's like a bit of a premature story. Like, we don't know what's going to happen next. So let us know.
Oh my God. Please write in like a few months' time, giving us the update.
Okay, so that is a wrap on the second episode of our second series of So Culture podcast. So thanks so much for tuning in. We're always looking for any more goss or laboratory that you'd like to share with us. So if you'd want to do that, you can find us on Instagram at So Cultured Podcast,
or X at So Cultured Pod, or you could use our anonymous link, which is linked in our Instagram, or you can email us at soculturedpodcast@gmail.com.
And I just have one more thing to say, that is, if anyone has any ideas for season three, obviously we're only on season two of, no, we're only on episode two of season two, but behind the scenes, we will be filming season three very soon. So if anyone has any suggestions for what they want on season three, please do also let us know. And then one more thing to say is that on every single one of our episodes, if you are a listener on Spotify, we always have a poll and a little question box. So make sure you head or just have a little scroll down and take part in those as well. And we will see you guys in next week's episode.
Bye.
Bye everyone.
You've been listening to the So Cultured podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Make sure you listen in next week for more science and tech updates and the hottest laboratory.
You can stay up to date with us in between episodes by following us on Instagram and X at So Cultured Podcast.
See you back here same time next week. Just watch me breathe.